I want to start this morning by just turning to you and saying thank you for your incredible gifts. What a privilege it is to serve with you here this morning. I also want to tell you how grateful I am and happy I am to say that Lawrence and Bev are dear friends of mine. Bev and I go back a couple of decades, and I feel so honored to be here in your beautiful church and serving with each one of you. And thank you for making me feel so at home, Susie and James, and reaching out to me. I really appreciate that. And it's really wonderful to be in another Unity church. I feel like whenever you go to another Unity, you just feel like you belong in your home. So thank you. And thank you to all of you who join us out there. So glad to be with you. One of my favorite television shows still to watch, especially before bed because they make me laugh, are old Seinfeld episodes. And we all have our favorites. One of mine is one called Serenity Now, which I saw just a few weeks ago. Serenity Now were two words that Frank Costanza discovered on a self-help tape, meant to be used as a calming affirmation, but instead, Frank shouts them at the top of his lungs throughout the show as he is angered and frustrated, especially by his wife, Estelle. Throughout the episode, George, Kramer, and others use the words, "Serenity now," to attempt to solve their problems and bring them peace. But instead, they get lots more problems. Good idea, those powerful words, Serenity Now. Definitely could have used a softer delivery and positively could have used some spiritual consciousness. It's so good to laugh and lighten up. And the show got me thinking about serenity, how much that word means to me today, and what precious gifts serenity and peace of mind are. Peace is probably the most needed and prayed for quality in all of our lives. Once a week, I facilitate a group, a spiritual group, for recovering addicts. It is a time that I am blessed over and over again. As an icebreaker, I often throw around a bag of questions to encourage honesty and to help all of us to get to know each other and to help us see that we're all so much alike. First question, if you could awaken one aspect of your personality that you had as a child and you feel you have since lost, what would it be? Number one answer, carefree. Second question, if you were to name the emotion that you waste the most time on, what would it be? Number one answer, worry. Number two, fear. And third question, if you could have an angel whisper one thing in your ear every day, what would you want to hear? Number one answer, everything's going to be okay. We're all so much alike, aren't we? But how many of us are waiting for someone to change, something to happen, something to stop happening, conditions to shift, surroundings to be different, in order to be at peace? If we believe that we will finally be at peace when something outside of us changes, serenity now is impossible. Only you can give you peace. Only you can allow what is already there to be. So we must remember to turn within, because God is always there. Therefore, peace is always there. The men were sitting in the boat when the storm came up, a storm like no other they had ever experienced, and it seemed to come out of nowhere. The waves crashed the boat mercilessly, and all the men on board panicked. They knew their lives were over. All but one, that is. The one who rested calmly and peacefully in the bottom of the boat. In fact, he was sleeping. The men frantically woke him up. He calmed the sea with his words, "Peace, be still." So at peace was this man with himself. He was able to command peace around him. That's serenity now. Most of us recognize this story found in the Gospel of Mark. We also recognize its meaning. We recognize the fear of the disciples because we have all experienced the storms of life. Perhaps we are experiencing them right now. The panic and fear we feel when faced with that diagnosis, that pandemic, that painful sudden loss, that troubled child, that overwhelming change. But we also recognize Jesus, whose way of handling the storms of life was not to run away or deny them. The way he handled the crashing waves, the chaos, the noise, was to be at peace within himself. We recognize the Christ of Jesus, the Christ of us. That answer place within us that comes and comforts us, guides and protects us, assures and loves us. When my two boys were little, now they're men, But I remember, like yesterday, finding myself comforting them, calming them, rocking them, the way my mom and my grandma used to calm me. I'd rock them and I'd say, shh, 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 there, there. It's okay. Mommy loves you. They would still, and most of the time they would fall asleep. And I would feel so peaceful, like a prayer. I was reminded to be quiet, to listen. And I was reassured that I too was loved and never alone. My lesson is as much about prayer today as it is about peace. Because prayer is peace, and peace is prayer. I love the writings and prayers of James Dillett Freeman, known as the Poet Laureate of Unity. Editor for years of our Daily Word, he wrote our beloved Prayer for Protection, which has special meaning for me because, gratefully, I can say that I'm one of those of us who was brought up in Unity. And when I was 16, I was a member of the Youth of Unity. And at Unity Village, James Dillett Freeman was our keynote speaker. That was back in the 70s. And I remember he had long, white, flowing hair, and I felt at that moment as a teenager that I was meeting God. Later in my talk, I will share with you my most favorite prayer that he wrote. Freeman wrote and spoke often about prayer. In an archived issue of Unity magazine, he wrote this: "To pray is to feel your mind calming, your body relaxing, your spirit lightening, your heart lifting. To pray is to put ourselves lovingly in the hands of the Father when we feel in the clutch of despair. To open our minds to the thought that even though we cannot see a way, there is a power that knows where we are and where we are going. A higher wisdom than our own that knows what we need to experience in order to become what we are meant to be. A wisdom that knows what we need to experience in order to become what we are meant to be. We can trust this wisdom and power, even when there is no sign of good. To pray is to affirm the good is there. Prayer is valuable not because it alters the circumstances and conditions of our life, but because it alters us. A wisdom that knows what we need to experience to become what we are meant to be. I want to become all that I'm meant to be. Don't you? So that means we must surrender to, trust in, accept with, love, and thank that wisdom all day long, every day, as much as possible. We must build a relationship with God, a real, meaningful, intimate relationship with the one who loves us more than we could possibly ever imagine. We must take time to pray and to meditate, to just be with God. Must give our attention to God. Whatever your prayer practice is now, add more time to it. This is the most important relationship in your life, and the only one that will truly bring you peace. The more you practice relaxing and turning to God in your thoughts, the more you will feel and experience the presence of God in your daily life, and the more you will experience peace. And as you spend more time with God, you'll begin to find that you're not just thinking of God when you're praying. During your day, thoughts of God will come to you. You will find yourself blessing those who need blessing. You will find yourself seeing more beauty everywhere. And when a distressing moment comes, and they do, you will find yourself thinking of God first, not how upset you are or how wrong someone else is, but God first. Now, there are times when situations arise that may momentarily make you forget that you are the peace of God. We all know those moments, don't we? But the truth is, they only have to last as long as you let them. They only have to last as long as you let them. This is when breath prayers are very helpful. Prayers that just take a breath to say, God is here. God is there first. All is well. Wherever I am, God is. God loves me. God is with me. Words that take us away from the fear, away from the worry, right to God. My peace is my responsibility. My peace is my responsibility. I read these words many years ago, and they have been invaluable in my life, and I'd like to share them with you. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be in that moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. Until I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my own attitudes. So what needs to be changed in you? How big or small is God in your life? And how big or small are the fears, the worries, the doubt? Mark Nepo is one of my favorite authors. And in his book entitled The Book of Awakening, he tells this story. An aging Hindu master grew tired of his apprentice complaining about everything. And so one morning, he sent him for some salt. When the apprentice returned, the master instructed the very unhappy young man to put a handful of salt in a glass of water and drink it. How does it taste? The master asked. Bitter, spit the apprentice. It tastes awful. Why are you asking me to do this? The master laughed, and then asked the young man to take another handful of salt and walk down with him to the lake and place it in the lake. The The two walked in silence to the nearby lake, and once the apprentice swirled his handful of salt in the water, the old man said, "Now drink from the lake." As the water dripped down the young man's chin, the master asked, "Do you taste the salt?" "No," said the young man. At this, the master sat beside the serious young man who so reminded him of himself and took his hands, offering these words, "The pain of life is pure salt, no more, no less. The amount of pain in life remains the same, exactly the same. But the amount of bitterness we taste depends on the container that we put the pain in. So when you are experiencing pain or worry or fear, the only thing you can do is to enlarge your sense of things. Stop being a glass and become a lake." Moments spent with God. Moments prayerfully feeling the precious, loving presence of God makes us a lake. Our container becomes so much more expansive and so much more able to stay centered in peace and in calm in the storms of life. The Serenity Prayer has helped bring comfort, hope, new life to literally millions. And although we think of it as being the AA prayer, it was actually written by Christian theologian and scholar Reinhold Niebuhr in 1941 for a sermon he was giving. The prayer was inspired by his overwhelming grief and sadness over the war and his need to begin peace in his own heart. The original version is much longer, and I encourage you to take some time to read it. This is the version we know. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The serenity must come first. We must have serenity, peace within, the feeling of the presence and love and power of God within us first. God loves me. God loves me." Those words mean everything to me today. Remember, a close, meaningful relationship with God. This was the message of Jesus, that God is not in some far-off place. God is right here. I try to begin every day saying those three words. God loves me. God loves me, protects me, guides me through every challenging situation. God will always be everything I need. God will always be everything I need. That's serenity now. That's peace. From that place of peace, we can then accept the things that we cannot change. We have the courage to change that which we can. And we will have the wisdom to know what is ours to change and what is not ours to change. I love this version of the Serenity Prayer. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me. Living from this peace, living from this trust, living with serenity, you will bring a sense of calm to those around you." But more than that, your peace will flow to others you don't even know. Because your blessing of peace on even one person will flow to all others they touch. Martha Smock, Unity author, wrote these words many years ago. When families and friends get together, there can be a serene atmosphere if even one person in the group knows the power of prayer. You can be that one. In any gathering, really, you can silently bless all who are present. You can know that God is in each one. You can be a center of peace as you keep your attention on the good in each person. And you will find that as you bless the place where you are, as you bless the people who are with you, the atmosphere around you will be one of harmony. Often people share that they feel so at peace in nature. How many of you feel the presence and love of God when outside in the fresh air? How many of us are really awake to all the ways we are constantly assured of God's love and protection? How many of us are aware when God is sending us a message reassuring us that we are never alone? The Sunday school teacher in me loves an object lesson. If you were here, I'd be handing you all a gift. But since you're not, I'm knowing that Creator will bring you a gift of a feather. I wanted to share this sweet little story about a feather. I work in an office building surrounded by four lanes of traffic in either direction. Across the boulevard lies a lake where I like to sit and read and meditate during my lunch hour. The lake is small but serene, with tall pines and flowering bushes surrounding it. And despite all the noise and traffic, I soon tune out and tune into the beauty of life. There are numerous birds, mostly white egrets, ducks, a few small fish, and often funny blackbirds that dive in the lake. One day, as I was crossing the grass on the way to my spot by the lake, I stopped dead in my tracks. A few feet in front of me were 9 white cattle egrets and 1 great blue heron. All stood motionless, facing the same direction, and I had remembered seeing such a scene in the movie City of Angels. There, the angels in human form gathered each morning at sunrise on the beach to give thanks to their Creator for another day. They all silently faced the same direction. The scene had made such an impact on me because it felt so serene and sacred. Now the egrets were standing at attention in the same way and seemed to me with the same serenity. I was frozen. It was the most amazing sight that I'd ever seen. They stayed for several minutes and then one by one flew away. I ate my lunch. The day was sunny, the clouds fluffy and white. When I got up to return to work, I took a few steps and heard the message, "The gift is at your feet." There on the ground were 9 white feathers and 1 gray-blue. Silently thanked the birds. Their message was clear. Often I feel overwhelmed and out of balance despite my attempts of letting go and trusting that all is well. I keep myself trapped by my own fears. Yet again and again, angels have found a way of letting me know that I am deeply loved and protected. I will always remember the silent serenity of the birds, my angels in disguise, and their incredible gift. Serenity is a quiet listening, open-mindedness to God and God alone, a place of stillness within. It's paying attention, whether in prayer, meditation, silence, or at the feet of nine birds. A serene mind does not need to know the way God answers prayers. It simply trusts. And even in the middle of what looks like crisis, when all hope seems lost, in the deepest pain, we find peace as we turn our attention to God. In closing, I mentioned my favorite prayer by James Dillett Freeman. I'd like to close this morning with his powerfully comforting message. I wanted to read from his book. It's a little factoid. There is a copy of this prayer on the moon. It traveled with the Apollo 15 mission, and it was left on the moon. James Dillett Freeman writes, "I had gone to pray for Catherine in the Silent Unity prayer room. I sat there in agony, unable to bring my mind into enough order to speak words of prayer, when suddenly I heard a voice. The voice said, 'Do you need me? I am there. You cannot see me, yet I am the light that you see by. You cannot hear me, yet I speak through your voice. I am at work, though you do not understand my ways. I am at work, though you do not recognize my works. I am not strange visions, and I am not mysteries, and only in absolute stillness beyond self can you know me. And then it is a feeling and a faith. Yet I am there, yet I hear, yet I answer. When you need me, I am there. Even if you deny me, I am there. Even when you feel most alone, I am there. Even in your fears, I am there. Even in your pain, I am there. I am there when you pray and when you do not pray. I am in you and you are in me. Only in your mind can you feel separate from me. For only in your mind are the mists of yours and mine. Yet only with your mind can you know me and experience me. Empty your heart of empty fears. When you get yourself out of the way, I am there. You can of yourself do nothing, but I can do all, and I am in all. Though you may not see the good, good is there. For I am there. I am there because I have to be, because I am. Only in me does the world have meaning. Only out of me does the world take form. Only because of me does the world go forward. I am the law on which the movement of the stars and the growth of living cells are founded. I am the love that is the law's fulfilling. I am assurance. I am peace. I am oneness. I am the law that you can live by and the love that you can cling to. I am your assurance. I am your peace. I am one with you. Though you fail to find me, I do not fail you. Though your faith in me is unsure, my faith in you never wavers. Because I know you, because I love you. Beloved, I am there. And that's serenity now. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Reverend Lori. Thank you for blessing us today. And right now, it's time for us to take an offering. It serves us well right now to ask for your donations, because we do believe in the field of possibility here, and we do not hold worry for any kind of financial lack here. We do believe that as we give, we do receive, and as we have given our talents and time here today, we are asking you to give of your gifts to support us here as you see the value of this service in your life, and if you have the means, since we are completely self-supporting from your gifts. This is the time to give, and you can use that donate button on our website. You can also mail your check to the office. You can set up bill pay with your online banking. And we also have a text number as a way to donate if this works for you. We want to say thank you so much for your prayers, for your time with our chaplains, with Power Hour and our Zoom meeting groups. We thank you for being with us here today. We thank you for your compassion with each other, for us in this spiritual community. Won't you join me now in our offertory blessing? With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. And ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good, we feel it, we experience it, and we freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen. And right now we'd like to do one of my favorite songs, the music of Jonathan Larson.